We would like to also lend our support, just as a message, for those who are fighting for better pay and residuals with the WGA and Screen Actors Guild and Equity, our UK equivalent. Solidarity for people in the film and entertainment industry. But getting back to things, this is Skinny E Media, along with Bobatron, our usual guest. And we're going to be talking about martial arts. It's a favorite topic of Rob, and I'll let him dominate the conversation on this one. And let's get started deep in the water into things.
Hey, I'm presuming you want to know what my first introduction to martial arts media was?
Absolutely. I'll let you dominate this one here.
Well, I suppose you could say it was for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or Hero Turtles, as the cartoon was called over here, as that was basically a big childhood franchise that were of my favorite of mine growing up, followed very shortly after by the Power Rangers, which of course evolved a lot of martial arts. Granted, that didn't have any martial arts weaponry, so that didn't run into Furman's censorious hands, like as the Ninja Turtles did, because, again, nunchucks couldn't be shown on screens during his tenure, and that so therefore Michelangelo Ninja Turtles suffered greatly for that in both the cartoon and the films. And I said cartoon was called Hero Turtles because ninjas was just too violent for a kids program. Okay, now so yeah, I may have watched Karate Kid once or twice growing up, but I don't really have great memories of it. But no, I mean, prior to that, other than that, yeah, that was my early introductions. And of course, as I got older, I started discovering Bruce Lee films, and they were good fun, even though I never would have seen them uncut because, again, nunchucks and Furman was just shredding those things to bits. So yeah, had a huge love for martial arts growing up. Also used to play, as you can imagine, like many kids in the 90s, used to play a lot of combat-based fighting video games like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, and later Tekken. And of course, that makes you think. So, yeah, I've got quite a bit of a background. Well, I say background. Quite familiar with a lot of martial arts tropes. Well, Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan films. Again, obviously, I watched Rumble in the Bronx quite a few times, so that was good fun. Yeah. Well, let's face it, there's probably a few others, but that's mostly them. Obviously, and of course, stuff by Jean-Claude Van Damme, Steven Seagal. What about you? What's your history experience with martial arts media?
Well, compared to you, it's almost nil. But in all fairness, I would say one of the first martial arts films I ever liked growing up was Rush Hour, which we've discussed on the 12A podcast at one point in time, that it was a 15 in the cinema, but it was a 12 on VHS. And that was one of the first 12 certificate films I ever saw, which I guess if you could say it's the first 15, but that between that and Beetlejuice, that's an open debate, because I know you consider it 12A. So moving on from that, yes, I find Chris Tucker very hilarious when he says, and he starts using sort of ethnic banter about, do you have a word? Go on, no, no, to the great Jackie Chan.
You faded out a bit there. What? Using stuff like what?
Ethnic banter, where he starts talking about, do you hear the words coming out of my mouth while doing an impersonation of Tucker?
Do you mean do an impersonation of Jackie Chan's character?
No, Chris Tucker, where he says, do you hear the words coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, I know that scene you're referring to. It's not aged well. I don't think you would audiences would be too accepting of that nowadays.
No,
he's butter.
But you know, we're millennials, so we're not as enlightened as our Gen Z counterparts on some respects, but that's one of my fond memories of martial arts. And then to some extent, the Tuxedo, which had Jennifer Love Hewitt and Jackie Chan. I won't talk about the Jennifer Love Hewitt stuff. That's more of a sexual matter. Oh, going back to it. And then as I got older, you know, because I saw The Medallion in cinemas, I saw Bulletproof Monk in cinemas, and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That was one of my first 12 certificate DVDs, maybe one of the first DVDs I ever owned. I saw that. I thought it was a bit on the kinky side for a 12, because I remember there was a scene where someone was slitting someone's hand in someone's cooch.
Hmm. I've only seen Crouching Tiger once. I only saw it first time recently. I don't think I acknowledged that bit. So, can't really comment.
This was at a time where I was not into martial arts, so I didn't quite understand it. But I was just happy the fact that I had a foreign language film in my house. You know, most of my stuff was from UK, US, and some Canadian stuff. And then as I got older, you know, I saw The Raid and Man with the Iron Fist in the cinema that same year in 2012.
And
I
really enjoyed
those movies. I often use The Raid and its sequel as a workout routine because I love all the kinetic violence. It's almost like a dance sequence almost. And it's very bloody. You know, martial arts films are usually sort of fists and maybe a bit of broken noses, but you never see the kind of sort of dismemberment and sort of shocking imagery that you might otherwise get in something like The Raid or Mortal Kombat or Ricky Orr. And Man with the Iron Fist, that was for pervy reasons, but it was a great movie. Afro Samurai, that was one of the first 18 certificate DVDs I ever owned, and it was, you know, doing my anime phase, so I felt kind of naughty there, extremely violent. And then Ikitosen, years later, which is a great anime series that's a bit on the naughty side, but I won't go into detail about that. So yes, that's pretty much my history. It's a bit crap, but the ones I do like, I really do, like Rush Hour and The Raid, and Man with the Iron Fist, Ikitosen, sort of thing. Afro Samurai.
Well, that is quite, Well, that is quite a... Well, that's a bit of history and everything. I'm a bit surprised that you said early on that you didn't really understand martial arts. I mean, I thought they were pretty simple and straightforward. I mean, it involves fighting, something kids tend to like. I mean, people get into martial arts on the presumption, probably quite false, that if you learn them, master them, you'll become a like hand-to-hand combat expert and be made completely unbeatable in a fight. And well, it probably certainly help you with combat. I mean, I don't think it's really quite as simple and straightforward as that, as many expert martial artists would advise you.
Well, I'd like to clarify on that a little bit. It's probably because growing up, most martial arts films weren't really for children anyways. And maybe in my sort of little England brain, I thought maybe it was a bit foreign. So I didn't quite understand it until, you know, I had to see it as more or less comedy-type martial arts films like Rush Hour and Medallion and Tuxedo. And then I got into anime and I started understanding it a little bit more. Yeah, and that was a little bit after I saw Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So it was a bit of a weird evolution, but that's my experience with it. But most of my friends were actually joining the classes and taking like that sort of Taekwondo, Tai Chi, Karate type classes after school.
Yeah, I know.
I never did that, but I'm sure you did.
I did karate classes once. I was no good at it, and I quit while I was still a white belt. I was so tempted to basically just lie and said, oh yeah, I've got a black belt and 15th Dan in like every single martial art in the world to make everyone think I'm some super badass ninja dude. But no, I studied karate once, quit while I was still a white belt, when I was between the ages of 11 and 12. Actually, just 11 actually. Quit while I was still a white belt because I found it too odd going. Didn't help, but the lessons were on Friday evening, was I was already knackered. So it was just, yeah, it was a real bummer because I was on the long run, so probably could have, well, eventually got somewhere with it. And let's face it, I would have learned more than, even if I didn't get that far, I would have learned more than if I just kept at it than if I just gave up. But But yeah, of course, you mentioned just a bit, let me continue. You mentioned Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Of course, I forget to mention, or I might mention this time, the first Bond film I saw at the cinema was, of course, Tomorrow Never Dies, which had Michelle Yeoh in.
Oh, yes.
Who's an accomplished martial artist.
And she would eventually be in Everything Everywhere all at Once. Crazy Rich Asians she was in, so she's quite highly regarded in Eastern circles. But yes, I would like to interject a point there. I know I said Rush Hour and stuff, but maybe, if you put it in perspective, one of the first experiences with martial arts I grew up on was Wu-Tang Clan. Particularly that video, The Gravel Pit, which I always thought was hilarious, and I always like that ending scene on the music video where they're doing some sort of elaborate martial arts sequence, and there's dinosaurs. It just, the whole thing was hilarious to me, and I didn't know what the song's title was for 23 years until I saw an ad for it online that was doing like US Super Bowl, because I'm a bit curious about
I know the song you're on about. I know the song you're on about. Gravel Pit, I've heard it quite a few times. Of course, that reminds me of a really old song from the 70s, during the disco craze, Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas.
I know some radio stations, I think one of them in Canada, did not take too kindly to it because they found it stereotypical and offensive. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a dance group named Bus Stop did a cover of it in the late 90s. And of course, I was watching an episode of Todd in the Shadows on YouTube, who was doing his One Hit Wonderland. And he was talking about how it was basically taking the martial arts craze of the 70s and mixing it with the blaxploitation, disco and funk music craze of the 70s as well. And of course, he noticed that there's probably a bit of a... what's the word? A bit of an overlap or camaraderie between sort of an allyship with the martial arts, the Chinese martial arts community in America and or media or whatever it is, and a lot of blaxploitation, a lot of the African American community and media time, because they both like felt they were striving for the same goals and united against a common enemy. And of course, if you feel like you've been put down and everything and you want to fight back, I think obviously martial arts is always going to be quite alluring, because it does give you this impression of self-empowerment.
No, there actually is truth to that, because I've talked with my mother's side of the family, who's American and also not white, and they've told me the very same thing as well. I think I had an uncle of mine who was a big fan of Bruce Lee and a lot of sort of martial arts films from the 70s that had the cheesy English dubs. It always sounded a bit out of sync. And we were like, come fight with me, Dragon Master. I will show you your new game. The game of the 36 chambers. It was all sort of a bit corny, but people loved it. And yes, it was popular within sort of... black and brown circles, because it was shown essentially ethnic minority groups are sort of fighting at it. And you know, for men, you know, it got the violence, it got the woman, because some of them are quite scantily clad, and it got the sort of exotic locales. So that was quite a draw for, you know, young men from sort of urban areas seeing these films on the big screen. And they sometimes would play them in sort of like Harlem and stuff. I know Enter the Dragon was a big success when it came out in America. Many even whites saw it too.
Oh, everyone loved Enter the Dragon. It was considered to be Bruce Lee's venture into Hollywood, which is sadly happened, because shortly after it was finished filming, he died. Although that's probably what caused it to be such a hit, much like with Heath Ledger and The Dark Knight, or even Paul Walker and Furious 7. No, when the main star basically tragically dies, it of course attracts a lot of attention, and probably gets a lot more notoriety. I think a lot more notoriety than it would have had otherwise.
Leaves you with a certain pain in your stomach, knowing that this will be his last film that I ever see him in. And I do believe, even behind the scenes, Bruce Lee suffered some nasty hits or something that might have affected his nervous system, which ultimately led to his death.
Well, that could have been. I mean, I know what it was. He took a... He had a headache and he took some weird experimental drug and everything. I was told originally it was a kid, it was an aspirin, but no, it was something else, some weird experimental drug that cured his headache, but actually increased swelling or caused a hemorrhage, or I don't exactly know, and just, caused him to collapse where he and not be revived. Quite morbid when you consider that, like, 20 years later, his son died as well, this time in a more of a freak accident, essentially a drug overdose.
Oh, but it's true. I mean, it's almost like the Kennedys. It's a family curse at some level, because the son was assassinated and then RFK was assassinated. You know, if you're going to marry someone into the Lee family or Kennedys, you probably don't, because something horrible might happen to you.
Well, Shannon Lee's still alive, I think.
Well, she might be on the luckier side of things. If she's not careful, things might turn the wrong way. Let's hope not.
No, Mark, I think we can chalk it up to coincidence, okay? I mean, okay, the Kennedys do seem a little unusual, but I mean, considering they're a highly politicized family and politics tends to draw would-be assassins, and they gravitate more towards the Democrat side, which of course those are ones who usually try to get assassinated more, because the assassins tend to be right. Oh Christ, we're getting off topic again, but you know, I wouldn't try to look for pattern where there isn't any, Mark. I mean, that's not a very good sign.
All right, then. Well, I'll reel that back in for everyone who's out there. But like I said, I'll let Rob Saw speak on this topic a lot more than even I, because he knows a lot more about martial arts than I do.
Hey, how limited is your knowledge of it, if that's the case? Fucking hell.
Well, I did tell you about my knowledge of Wu-Tang Clan and Gravel Pit.
Yes. Yeah, I played their video game in the around the turn of the millennium, Wu-Tang Taste of Pain. That was quite funny. I mean, it wasn't that great a game, but it was okay. It was playable. Damning it, faint praise.
Talked about The Raid, and that is one of my favourite 18 films of all time.
That's just an amazing flick. Both that and its sequel are just so well filmed, because they don't rely on any shaky cam or quick jump cuts or anything, or any stunt doubles. They have these long, uninterrupted tracking shots, steady tracking shots. Everything you see that's going on the screen is just basically actually happening. It's really awesome. It's like watching when I watched Rumble in the Bronx. And of course, it's not like a great film. The acting is pretty poor and everything, and there's not a huge plot to it. But oh boy, the stunt work is amazing, because there's no green screen, no CGI, no wire foo, no stunt doubles. Everything you see Chan's character doing, Jackie Chan was actually fucking doing. And it is just absolutely amazing. And it's obviously before he started doing PG-13/12 rated diluted schlock like Rush Hour. This was actually proper R/15 stuff, and where he didn't just jump around and do loads of gymnastics. His character would actually smack people, actually properly hit people, and it was fucking glorious. But The Raid is a lot like that as well. I mean, Rumble in the Bronx is a 15 and was cut for a 15, I think, but probably not cut 15 now. Raid is an 18, so it's that bit more bit more violent and sadistic in some of its ways. Raid and Raid 2. I mentioned Ninja Turtles earlier, and of course, those movies are on Paramount Plus right now. And I just watched the first two of them. I watched the first one last weekend and the second one just last night. And I hadn't seen them in quite a while. And this is the first one I got to see them uncut. Because even the second one, where they don't use their weapons, still had to be cut. Because I've seen where Michelangelo uses sausages like nunchucks. Because James Furman was a fucking twat. They are quite fun. But yeah, they are really goofy films. It's not as good as you remember them. And you realize, oh yeah, there's a reason why we didn't get such great reviews at the time. Obviously, the second one having featuring Vanilla Ice has severely dated it. But also, there's just the ridiculousness of a turtle being a ninja. Well, of all the animals to be a freaking ninja or martial artist, you would use a turtle. I mean, you think you'd use a cat or a squirrel or a mongoose or something like that, or a wolverine.
Yeah, but, you know, this is a different time we're talking about. They were making movies about sewer creatures trying to terrorize New York or something. I think it was like called Chud, or Ghoulies, or Critters. Or things that come out in the desert and terrorize the whole town, like Tremors. So it kind of fits in that mold of campy, but yet so fun.
A bit earlier. I mean, sorry, but are you aware of like the history behind the Ninja Turtles franchise? How it started?
Is it based on like a cartoon or some comic book?
It was a comic book done by two guys in Eastman and Laird. And basically, they were satirizing the trend of comic books at the time. Because, I mean, there was Daredevil's one coming on, where he had like his mentor called Stick and his ninja gang enemy called The Hand. You know, Stick, Splinter, Hand, Foot. So that was put in for comedic reasons. They were parodying the New Mutants of the X-Men, and then being Young Mutants, and the 27 Ronin count as well. So they're thinking, okay, ninjas and mutants and teenagers, mutants and ninjas. Right, so they've got Roman in. They just like thought the idea of a turtle being a ninja was so outlandish. They just had to go with it. And of course, yeah, they were just taking the fucking piss when they just came up with it. They did not think it would become this massive franchise it once was. And not only was it a massive franchise, pretty much every other Saturday morning cartoon in the 90s was just a derivative or a clone of it, like Street Sharks or Biker Mice and Mars or like. But again, that's slightly off topic. But that is kind of related to martial arts. Again, I don't think it's a massive coincidence that the next one after freaking Ninja Turtles to take next big franchise of Ninja Turtles was Power Rangers, which of course involved a shit ton of martial arts as well. In fact, I think most of the actual cast who were pretty piss poor actors when it came down to it, were actually trained martial artists.
I do remember a lot of my friends back in the day were fans of Power Rangers. I think one of the kids had like a lunchbox, and then I saw one of the tapes. I think it was like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Turbo, the movie. I could not a single thing about that. I didn't
That's after my time. I saw the first one in 1995, when I was 10. And unfortunately, my brother at the time, he was 17, was tasked with taking me and my mate to go see it. Oh, boy. And I've never stopped feeling sorry for him for having to take me and my mate to see that bloody movie. It would be like in 2002 if I had to take a 10-year-old kid to see the Digimon movie. Oh, man. That fucked up. But no, I mean, I saw the 95 one when it was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That was back when time. The next one came out in 1997 when I was 12. I'd gone off, so I wasn't interested in seeing that. I didn't see that one. I wasn't even aware it was even out, actually.
I feel the same way as you. I mean, I'm younger than you, but still.
Quite a bit.
I didn't get it.
Close to my brother's age when I am yours.
You know, I didn't really get the whole Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles sort of thing. I will say about Ninja Turtles is that from what you've told me, it sounds like the joke might be on them, because even though the concept is very ridiculous, and they also eat pizza and have Italian names, it was very popular.
And trained by a rat.
Exactly. You know, I think part of it is because of marketing and merchandise, because they make so many toys and stuff based on these sort of things, and cartoons and films. It's like the wheels keep on turning, because not only have we had recent live-action versions, but now we have a new animated film, and then we had an animated film back in 2007. I've never seen them. But I know,
and of course, we had the Michael Bay film. with the Michael Bay films in 2014 and 2016 as well.
Oh, yes. Well, that's why I was referring to the live-action ones. And when I did see they were 12A certificate, I was always a bit like, But it's for children. Older kids love Ninja Turtles.
Dude, the Transformers films and the G.I. Joe films are 12A. What do you think the TMNT ones were going to be? Obviously, I mean, they're not just for kids. They're pandering to the nostalgia of, Gen Xers and younger Gen Xers and elder millennials who grew up with the franchise. The same with the Power Rangers movie that came out in 2017.
And the same can be said about Barbie as well. But yeah, I see what you mean. Sure.
But Barbie was actually good.
Oh, no, of course. Well, I mean, I've never seen the recent Power Rangers film you're talking about, but I am aware they did have to censor it because of the homosexual content, particularly in Russia. Past the 18 plus.
Yeah, it might have been censored in some countries. Russia didn't cut it out, but they just rated it 18, which, to be fair, when your country gives the Power Rangers an 18 rating, I don't think I can take your country seriously. Sorry.
Same here. I can't take them seriously either. I mean, hey, you know, here we are in the UK and they had to censor a Secret of the Ooze because the scene where it looked like the sausages were being used as nunchaku. That didn't sit too well with Mr. We can't have meat. Weapons that might make people copy, you know, in schools, sort of mindset, James Furman. But you have to be aware, a lot of kids, and I'm sure nowadays, were copying stuff from movies because they thought it was funny. I mean, look at all the kids trying to emulate stuff from Squid Game. They were reported,
I mean, there are always these comments about kids just try to emulate stuff that's in movies or in on TV, but it's like, do they really? Because by that logic, they'd be trying to emulate the stuff that's in non-violent movies. They made a joke about this on Mock the Week, where you see kids like at a train station running at the wall trying to get to Hogwarts, and of course, yeah, but you don't see that. And of course, if they don't do that, why would they try to pick up sausages and wear them as nunchaku? You know, I mean, as I said, I mean, I know this is off topic. I saw RoboCop when I was 5 or 6, and I haven't tried to emulate anything in that film. I don't think most people do. I mean, it can emulate how you may think, but I don't think they ever. I just don't think people don't commit violent acts because they see it on TV. That's just fucking boneheaded.
I mean, you know, in all fairness, it really is. I mean, they said this about Dragon Ball Z, which at the time was the big Japanese cartoon that was popular with my generation. I hated Dragon Ball. I didn't get it. I thought, what's all this going on? I thought it was too violent for small children. Yes, I was the I was the 7 or 8 year old. Who was acting like the 35 or 45-year-old in the room. You can't see this. Oh, no. Turn it off now. I just did not get what Dragon Ball was all about. And that is a martial arts work, as well as an animation.
How old were you when you first discovered Dragon Ball?
I must have been like 7, 8. Because they aired on Cartoon Network a lot.
The Western releases of Dragon Ball were heavily edited for the TV screenings. They cut like shit ton of it out and everything.
Oh no, they did. I mean, you have to if you're going to be broadcasting on Cartoon Network and Toonami. It's not like they were putting on some sort of Adult Swim block. A lot of it was not only for violence but also politically correct material. Because I heard there was a character that was in blackface. And there's some sexual stuff that they had to remove for the Western market, which I guess, you know, Sailor Moon had this same problem too. And those are two sort of, you know, anime works I just loathe because that was what was popular at the time. And I was not watching martial arts stuff or anime back then. Samurai Jack did not appeal to me. for those reasons. It wasn't until I got a bit older that, like 13, 14, I started maybe opening myself out, particularly to martial arts. I know I said Afro Samurai a little bit earlier, and weirdly enough, even though that was an 18 certificate cartoon, I did not get into trouble for watching it. In fact, I actually got it as a gift. And I loved feeling naughty watching Samuel Jackson voicing a samurai, killing and dicing people to death, and actually even getting a jacket that had him smoking a doobie. I even wore it on a few occasions in public. I must have been like 15 or something when this happened, and I felt, ooh, bit of a badass me. 15, 16. Take that what you will. So there is a bit of a nasty streak about me.
Yeah. I don't really tend to think of, if I'm ever doing something, I don't really tend to think in terms of, ooh, I'm being a bit naughty and everything. I mean, I suppose one of the younger I might have, but of course, that is something you tend to grow out of, and you just do it because, well, you want to do it, and you don't think the rules that say you can't are worth following anyway, because they're fucking stupid rules. But that's off topic. Although I suppose the stuff you're watching was martial arts related.
Well, it is. I mean, in my weird, probably racist head, I assumed if it was Eastern, and it was all like Chinese or Japanese stuff, and there was samurai or ninjas or people with fists, I thought it was in martial arts work or it was anime. There is overlap between the two, but each has its own separate origins. But yes, take that as you will.
I always find it weird how, like, in most martial arts media tends to come from China, when you actually think about most martial arts you can think of, a great majority of them come from Japan, and yet when you think of Japanese media, it's like, okay, it's Godzilla or it's anime stuff or it's best about giant robots. You don't tend to think of a huge amount of martial arts media coming from Japan, or maybe if it does, it's probably drowned out by stuff, because sure, kung fu and its various derivatives are Chinese, and then there's taekwondo, which is Korean, but then you've got like karate, judo, jiu-jitsu, aikido, ninjutsu, and trying to think of it as, yeah, they're all Japanese, especially like martial arts weapons like shuriken, nunchuku, sai, katana blades, and most of the stuff that the Ninja Turtles used.
No, but it's
are
true.
Japanese as well.
You know, to the average person who may be watching, when they think of sort of martial arts in Japan, it's usually the animated stuff, but China and then Hong Kong, which used to make a lot of the Bruce Lee movies, sort of captured that market a lot, maybe probably because it was a bit more easy to market and there was a larger industry to tap. I mean, population wise, who's got the upper hand here? Mainland China, and then it's dominions like Taiwan and Hong Kong, but I'm not going to go into the politics of that. But for me, my favorite martial arts discipline is Pencak Silat from Indonesia, mainly because of the raid and the night comes for us in Marantau.
Wait, which movie did you say again? Sorry, I was so which movie did you say again?
The Raid or Saraborar Marut?
What was that second one? Sarabora.
Saboran Maut or Barandal is the Bahasa Indonesian titles for the raid, and then Marantau and The Night Comes for Us, which is more or less has the same people. It has Iko Uwais and like Joe Taslim and that guy who plays Mad Dog, who was also in the John Wick movie, I think, Chapter 3. Sorry, I'm a bit in a tangent right now.
But to be fair, much as I like the John Wick films, I've never watched any of them more than once, so I can't actually comment. Wait, his name's not Donnie Yen, is it?
No, I think that's someone else. I've heard Donnie of Yen name is in one.
Oh yeah, he's in, it might have been John Wick 4 actually. John Wick 3.
But yes.
Well, oh, just
wait,
say this.
Mark, wait, you don't mean Mark Dacascos, do you? Dacascos.
No, I don't. I've never even heard of him. I've heard of, you know, your Chang.
He was in
your
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Oh, okay. I know what that movie is. But yeah, I was just saying for the audience out there, my favorite discipline is pencaksilat, which is Indonesian origin. I don't quite connect with karate and taekwondo or tai chi and some of those other ones that I know is popular with. I'm sorry to say this. White kids who think they are some sort of kung fu dragon master and sort of wank off to East Asian woman on their computer and have all these katana swords in their bedroom and start using words like sensei and
mole ninja. Yeah, otherwise known as mole ninjas. And if you want to know any more on that, look it up on Rational Wiki. It would give you everything to know. Yeah, basically people who just sort of you could describe them as weeaboos, basically Japanese Japanophiles or anything, or Japanese fanboys who have a appreciation, but really are do seem to love Japanese culture, but have a very limited understanding of it, and just very much culturally appropriate this stuff and just think it's cool. But obviously watch a lot of anime and collect katana blades and martial arts weaponry and just obsess over like various different martial arts techniques whilst really, when it comes down to it, knowing fuck all about it.
I actually know a few people who are like that. I've unfortunately seen a few of them in my lifestyle. Not saying I am one. I won't go into too much detail, but some people might think, oh, I bet you're one of those creepy white fellas who's obsessed with East Asian culture a lot. But no, I got to tell them no, because I don't have any weapons in my house like that. And weirdly enough, I will bring this up because I'm a bit deranged in the head. I've actually got a martial arts film that actually was cut by 2 minutes and 24 seconds by the BBFC, and it's actually a martial arts porno called Sex and Zen 3D Extreme Ecstasy. Do you remember when this came out in cinemas?
No, I never even heard of it before.
Well, the weird thing is, it was actually this sort of 2-hour-long porno that was made in Hong Kong, and it was in 3D, and it actually made a little bit more money than Avatar in its opening weekend, particularly in its native Hong Kong. And it was shown in UK cinemas, and I remember seeing the posters like on it for like Odeon, and it was only played like in 19 locations in the UK. And I was like, I didn't know you could play porno movies in British cinemas at all. I thought it was only in Soho, like at those little dingy peep show places or Harmonies that you can find that. But nope, they actually played a Hong Kong 3D porno with graphic sex and graphic martial arts on the big screen. I could not believe it. And I was so tempted to go.
Sex and Zen?
Yes, Sex and Zen 3D Extreme Ecstasy.
Oh, and there's right, I got the wrong one.
Yeah, I got a copy of it if you like, but I probably shouldn't be publicizing about that out loud. But I just wanted to say it. That because
we need to worry about it again.
Exists. if you thought Man with the Iron Fist was bad, wait till you see that. For me, my favorite martial arts stuff usually tends to be more or less the animated stuff or the comedy stuff. But, you know, 18 certificate martial arts films like Man with the Iron Fist and The Raid 1 and 2 can really get your blood pumping and make you want to start fighting about and killing some people. The kills on those movies are gruesome, particularly on Night Comes for Us, scene with a guy using like a piece of mojado or wet floorboard and smashing it on his head. And that's just one of the scenes.
Yeah, so it sounds pretty intense because I wrote Sex and Zen and it came out in 2011. So, of course, yeah, that's pretty intense for a if it had to be cut, but I mean, because the first one, I just found out, came out in 1991. But of course, that was back when Furman would have been cutting everything, so that's not here nor there. But I'm tempted to go look that up on the internet and see what it's all about.
It actually did exist. I'm not making it up. It's not some sort of R18 film you can find in a harm.
I just looked it up on freaking IMDb, so yeah.
I know. Oh, bless. I mean, I'm not going to talk about if you've been watching martial arts porn. I'm sure you probably saw Dead or Alive. That's about
The movie? They're based on a video game.
Yeah, movie or video game. It's by, like, Namco.
I saw it once. It was pretty crap, to be honest.
Because
I played the video game. Fun?
Because in America, it was PG-13, and I saw the trailers for it in both countries, and I thought, I bet this will be rated R in the States, because it looks a bit kinky. Nope, actually PG-13, and I was like, aww. It didn't interest me at all. I mean, I don't like movies based on video games. They don't interest me. Except for
They don't tend to be very good, let's put it that way. Mortal Kombat may have been quite well received by its audience, but it was quite a shit film. And so was Street Fighter.
Nope, you're right. Most of my friends have said the same thing. I know they did a remake of the Mortal Kombat. It got an R18 in Australia, weirdly enough. I know that video game has always been controversial over there. And it goes without saying, Mortal Kombat is the reason why you have the fucking E10, T, M, and AO system.
Yeah, it's called ESRB, yeah.
Exactly. Which, I guess, you know, I've seen clips of the original game. It is quite gory, but it had unintended consequences for the industry. And you got all these morally outraged parents who tried to ruin it for everyone else's child. But in all fairness, I don't know a lot of parents these days who are more than willing to say, you can't play Mortal Kombat or Tekken. I knew kids who were as young as 8 and 9 who were playing those games, and their parents let them buy it. They didn't give a flying fuck. I'm sure your parents were like that too.
Well, I did play quite a lot of violent games there, thing growing up. I mean, I played Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat and everything. Obviously, a lot of these, except for Mortal Kombat, a lot of these games weren't that violent growing up. I mean, obviously, I've played a lot of violent video games. My mum said she actually wouldn't want me playing it, but to be honest, she knew she couldn't win, so she just didn't bother trying. But yeah, I mean, most of the games we actually had originally were in the early 90s on our Amiga 500 and then 1200. We ended up copied and everything onto discs from this family friend of ours who just was able to do that. So didn't make a huge amount of difference one way or other. I mean, age ratings in games were very rare back then. Mortal Kombat might have had a 15, I can't quite remember. I think Doom it. But yeah, I mean, I remember playing most. But yeah, I play a lot of these video games, but I don't think my parents really talked much about it because I didn't know much about it, to be honest.
That's kind of happened with me a little bit when it came to some anime. They didn't know too much about it. But yes, it is a bit unusual, really, because I remember the ELSPA system. 3, 7, 11, 15... No, no, sorry. 3, 11, 15, and 18. And a lot of the games that were like 15, like ELSPA, even 18, they had the arcade game systems at a lot of these sort of entertainment venues that were near cinemas. So I always kept seeing all the kids playing stuff like Tekken and House of the Dead. I was by Sega or Namco. And I was always a bit confused because the rating says otherwise, but these young kids were playing those kind of games like that. And I know we're not talking about film rating specifically, but video games do apply in this sphere
With my limited knowledge I do have about video games. Exactly my point there.
Oh, actually, sorry, reminds me. We played a game called Soul Blade, which later went on to become Soul Edge or Soul Calibur in later years. But we played that on the PlayStation. It had a 15 rating. Problem is, though, is that because it had like been rated by a BBFC, it had already been censored because one of the characters wields nunchucks. And this was back in the 90s under Furman, so nunchucks, again, were a big no-no. And, yeah, it had to be replaced with some three-pronged staff or something. It's just, fucking hell, man. Oh, reminds me of another bloody game called Tenchu Stealth Assassins, which was rated 18 by the BBFC, again, because they had been on there. One of the weapons you could use was shuriken. Oh, that had to be censored as well. And was replaced with simple throwing knives. Oh, yeah, much better. Because throwing knives are so much more... So much less dangerous than fucking ninja stars. Oh, fucking Berman was a fucking joke, man. I can't believe he'd last as long as he did or anyone ever took him seriously.
Well, if he could appeal to Middle England, that's how you get to stay as long as you did. But I will note this for anyone who is listening. It wasn't censoring certain films that led to his downfall. It was actually trying to legitimize R18 certificate pornography that led to his downfall, to where he resigned in 98 because he was trying to get the hardcore stuff to pass through instead of it being all softcore. And that led into conflicts with, I think, Lord... Andreas Willis Smith and some of the people who represented on the House of Lords and several committees, like Jack Straw. And we would never hear from him again. And then Robin Duvall came along and he more or less liberalized and imposed guidelines and started permitting all the hardcore smut at R18 and relaxed the policy on martial arts weaponry.
Although he relaxed it, he more or less just got rid of it, to be honest.
Some exceptions, because I think Laura Croft, Tomb Raider, or Cradle of Life had to be trimmed a little bit because it was focused on weaponry.
Yeah, but not martial arts weaponry, though. It was like knife, basically. It wasn't like nunchaku or shuriken, which they basically repealed the ban on.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that with me. I actually tried to get an interview request with Robin Duvall. If you can hear me right now, we love you. Trying to liberalize the laws. But, yes. So, I remember, I should have said this a long time ago, Raid 2, we were talking about that a little bit earlier. Well, as it turns out, they did have to censor it in the US to avoid the NC-17, which... I always found that a bit bizarre, really, because, yes, it is extremely violent, but there's really nothing in it that otherwise would not see in a rated R film. And it was as a result of lingering scenes of people being stabbed and, you know, God bless, blood gushing out for longer periods. And that really nasty scene with a woman smashing people with a hammer on a train, they had to trim that a little bit. Gareth Evans, one of Wales's finest filmmakers outside of Queen Prano, actually stated, I was actually okay with some of the cuts there. It still did reduce some of the impact.
Well, I'm not surprised, basically, it would have gotten it. Because, after all, it was not an American film, and it was a foreign one, and they... Well, foreign as well. It was a non-American one, and, of course, they tend to be subject to harsher guidelines, so, yeah, they do tend to... So that's probably why... Well, let's face it, though, it's an 18 here, so as far as I'm concerned, if it's an 18, there's no reason we shouldn't be getting an NC-17 anyway. So, yeah, that's that.
And America's lost there, because Canada got the film uncut, and even Mexico. And, you know, people say, oh, Mexico's a shithole. Well, look at you! But I'll reel that back in. Actually, now just coming to mind. Am I allowed to speak about Banlieue du 13 or District 13? Yeah, is that Christ, how the martial arts?
How the fuck? Yeah, it's a martial arts film. Both the two, well, I guess the two guys are more known parkour, but that's kind of used in a martial arts. So yeah, totally. I don't forget. What did I forget about that one? Jesus Christ.
It is, well, it's a little bit unusual because the first film was given an 18 in Ireland, and it actually shows it on the DVD cover. Usually by law of theory regarding DVD and Blu-ray covers, you don't show a higher rating or a lower rating than what you received in the UK. So if you're ever in doubt, if you ever only see a single rating, that being the BBFC logo, on the DVD, chances are, if you open it, it's probably higher in Ireland or lower in Ireland. That's just one thing. But the reason why it came into mind is because they're not Far Eastern. Everyone speaks Francais. And they're all white European or Algerian or African in this one. So it's quite diverse.
Oh, yeah. It's, it's like set around France is an inner city. Well, they call them beyond. I don't know how you pronounce the word in French, or basically bon French district. Yeah, which is essentially almost like the French equivalent of a ghetto and everything. So, yeah, it's almost like celebrating France's multiculturalism or racially mixed, racially mixed society that it is now. And obviously, actually, that's what I've got to say now. But no, I mean, it is a good. It's a good film. I enjoy it. Well, I mean, all the stunt work is amazingly good fun. It's just nice to see a full-on action movie like that come out of France, and I thought it's pretty cool. I wish Britain would do an action movie on that level.
Well, I mean, Hot Fuzz, that I consider that an action movie, and that one kicks some real ass. But
It's a comedy movie. I mean, I know Dredd's technically an action movie, but it's not set in Britain, which is British, but I mean, Dredd's an action movie. It's technically British, but it's not set in Britain, so people don't recognise it as one.
Well, they're lost there. They filmed it in South Africa for tax credit reasons, but its origins are a little bit unusual. But it is a bit unusual for Banlieue de 13 because France is a bit known for a very stereotypical set of films that they do. You saw art house black and white movies with lots of sex and people smoking, talking about philosophy and Foucault and listening to Eric Satie. No, because I've been to France many times. There is a section of films that will never get released outside of France and Belgium, maybe even Quebec. And this is where films like sort of Banlieue de 13 comes from, because it appeals to a certain group of people that feel more or less on the margins. And with the recent sort of manifestation contre justice pour Naël, who is that Algerian kid who got shot by the police, that film, unfortunately, has much more of a political bite now than it did probably when it initially came out. And it even came out around the time where there was race riots between Algerians and Africans versus white French Catholics. So take that as you will.
I will indeed. I will indeed. But I mean, I think that's my point. Part of the point they're trying to make, but trying to have a reflection on it. And of course, they were more concerned about government policies regarding. And if we're talking about racism, and of course, a lot of the martial arts films that came out in the 70s are also referencing anti-Chinese racism or anti-Asian racism experienced in the United States by the immigrants. In fact, have you seen Dragon, the Bruce Lee story?
Unfortunately, I haven't, but I'm aware of that scene where he's in the cinema watching Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That's what's getting to, yeah.
Not looking very happy seeing that.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not fucking surprised. I mean, I know it was the early 60s, and that's just what people did back then, but fuck me, that's not a good scene. I can't believe I forgot to mention it in our racism podcast. I mean, I even saw Breakfast at Tiffany's, like, once. I mean, it's getting off topic again. I only saw it once, a while back, but a year or two back. Pardon?
I saw it in cinemas. Senior's Day.
Well, I didn't. I just saw it on watched it on either Disney Plus or Paramount Plus. Can't quite remember. And I just like watching that scene with Mickey Rooney's Japanese character. Like, oh fuck, that is cringe. Yeah, but. I mean, fucking hell, man.
No,
yeah, well, that's not what we're on about. So, I mean, about that. Also,
But you are onto something, because a lot of Saw films would touch upon that issue. But then also, some might say some of the martial arts films are sort of playing on sort of European stereotypes that all Chinese people know how to kung fu, or the dragon lady, she, you know, makes the white man's cock hard and will slice and throw blades at you if you destroy her essential ways. It's a bit weird, really. But go on.
Well, very probably. I mean, there is a bit of a stereotype where they think that all Asians are martial artists, which I think most Asians are probably getting quite sick of and everything. Obviously, I mean, yeah, we've had a lot of Chinese or, well, Hong Konger students at a school I went to in Thornbury and in Winterbourne and everything. Yeah, we had quite a few Hong Konger or Cantonese pupils there and everything. And yeah, we always asked them if they knew bloody Kung Fu and everything. And I think a lot of them claimed they did and everything, but they might just be lying just to impress us. But yeah, it is a bit of a stereotype. And the stereotypes, no matter how complimentary they might be, are still bad, regardless. I mean, you being half black probably don't like it when people start insinuating that you might have a big knob or something.
No, I'm not comfortable with that. Although, I might have to use it to my advantage. I'm not very good in the dating sphere. But anyways, moving on.
Also, have you heard of a series called The Best of the Best?
I've never heard of it.
It's another martial arts series, very low budget, very sort of direct to video or DVD. I don't know if it came out on video. But came out of the cinema or anything like that. That's starring a guy named called Philip Ree. And I'm just looking up right now.
Well, I'll say
he's an American guy, but he's of a Korean Queen descent. So he's a sixth down black belt in Taekwondo and a third down black belt in Hapkido. Oh, and he knows Wing Chun and boxing. He's been starring in multiple martial arts movies, and of course, Best of the Best is probably his most well-known one. I saw a third one with my mate, his house, which dealt with white supremacy and him taking that. I've had Gina Gerson in, who was in Showgirls, and Red Heat, if I'm not mistaken. So,
learn quite new things every day. A lot of the recent martial arts films actually have not been coming in the cinemas lately. They're more or less sort of straight to DVD or streaming fare. I think that's the market it tends to be most successful in nowadays. I mean, look at the Ip Man movies. They're very popular, but you would never see them on the big screen.
Yeah, I do tend to not do many. I think The Raid went out of the big screen, but yeah, I think a lot of martial arts movies are direct to video or direct to stream and everything, which is a bit of a bummer because they are quite nice. But I think the interest in them kind of waned. I mean, well, obviously Jackie Chan's not got any younger, so he's probably bloody hell, he can still do a lot of his. He can still do some pretty amazing stunts if you've worked for Foreigner. And obviously Jet Li's still does his martial arts still doing his martial arts movies, as with Jason Statham, actually, because he's what does he do? I think it's kickboxing he's trained in.
Actually, weirdly enough, we haven't talked much about Jacé Verdier. I know you've seen Kickboxer and Hard Target. We have talked about that, but a movie that has always intrigued me that he did was called Jacques Servais, which was Franco-Belgian, and it's pretty much a meta sort of take on his life as he tries to solve an armed robbery. And it leads to some really bizarre moments of him sort of questioning his own morality and doing like a weird scene at the camera that goes on for about 3 or 4 minutes, and him talking about his identity and how he was a failed actor. I really don't know how to explain it to regular people, but it's pretty much aimed at his most hardcore fans. And it
Which
probably
film was
is
this again?
too Jacques Vede or
Ready, sir?
JCVD.
Oh, JCV. Oh, right, yeah. I haven't seen that. I mean, I think I've contemplated seeing it, but I never got around to. No, I haven't seen that. To be fair, I haven't seen a huge amount of Jean-Claude Van Damme films. Obviously, I've seen Hard Target a few times. I've seen Sudden Death, that Die Hard knockoff. I've seen Was it Kickboxer? Yeah, Kickboxer, first one I've seen. What's that one where he plays two different twins of himself? I've watched that one. And of course, I've seen Street Fighter and Expendables 2. Oh, I can't believe that fight at the end of Expendables 2. It's like Jean-Claude Van Damme against Sylvester Stallone. It's like Van Damme's 14 years younger than Sylvester Stallone. He's the same size and build as him, and he's got martial arts training. That would be the most one-sided fight ever. Although a lot of the films he's been in pretty mismatched. Because everyone brings up a Street Fighter where he's fighting against Raul Julia at the end. Raul Julia, who is like 20 years older than him and visibly gaunt from bowel cancer. But of course, the year earlier in Hard Target, is fighting at the end with Lance Henriksen, who's again 20 years older than him and nowhere near his build. It's just very mismatched.
Well, you're probably trying to pick people who were maybe famous at the time, because that's how you get people's bums in seats, picking the latest best actors. I know Raul Julia from Adam's Family. That's
Course.
more a comedy than it is martial arts. But I did include Jacques Vede because we don't always hear about sort of white or European martial artists. It usually tends to be the sort of Eastern ones that tend to have a bit more of the higher profile. I know for a long time, this was in the mid-2000s, Tony Jaa was a thing. Tony Jaa, Tony Jaa, Tony Jaa, particularly with Ung Bak, which actually is the best Thai movie ever made. I know a lot of British people like to go to Thailand and smoke some weed and go onto the beaches and go to get fucked in Phuket with the lady boys. But Ong Bak is actually quite bare to the knuckle, no CG. But it always did perplex me that it was an 18 because it's not that bloody or gory. It's actually just a lot of strong martial arts combat. Maybe just a few scenes of people's heads being smashed in, maybe some brief spurting blood. But it was never really that gruesome, like, let's say, Dog Soldiers or Cocaine Bear at 15. Well.
Oh yeah, it's always good to actually see the actual martial arts actually being done properly. Of course, Tony Jaa, I think he was in that Monster Hunter with Mila Jovovich, who was also a trained martial artist. Of course, referring to earlier the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, the second one has that kid Kino in, and of course that guy's a trained martial artist. Bear me a second.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of these names.
No, I'm just trying to. Hold on a second. Right, hold on a
Iko
second.
Uwe's my favorite martial artist.
Yeah, Ernie Reyes Jr. And of course, yeah, he's a trained he's a fully trained martial artist, and of course he does all this martial art acting, actually all these stunts on screen. And of course, yeah, no stunt doubles, no quick cuts, no shaky cam or anything or wire foo. It's just all done straight around. It's just fucking amazing to watch. So of course, with Crouching Tiger, kind of changed that because remember the year after that they did that Charlie's Angels film, and that was just brought in the wire foo and fuck me, that just ruined everything. Then of course, in 2008, Taken came along, and they got Liam Neeson, who was already like well into his 50s and pushing 60 at the time, being just no way we would do half these stunts, and every action scene is just horrendously edited to hide the fact it was blatantly not him doing it. Although that's pretty much all of Steven Seagal's straight to DVD work over the past 30 years. That's, well, at least 25 years in a nutshell. So, yeah, enough said about that.
Well, I won't even bother talking about Steve Seagal because I know he's a Putin lover and he's got a very weird personality of his own. I mean, Gerard Depardieu has the same problem, but he's too fat to be a martial artist. He's just French.
Well, to be honest, Steven Seagal, you'd think, would be as well. Have you seen the fucker?
Oh, yeah, he's big.
He's one fat cunt. Sorry, I picked that
back. Hey.
Sorry, I think you broke up a bit there.
Oh, no, it's just me laughing and sounding like a maniac. But wait, did I mention if you liked martial arts comedies? Because I know you like Ninja Turtles. I know you talk shit about Rush Hour, so I'm not your friend anymore.
No, I like Rush Hour. I like the first one anyway. Second one's okay. The third one's a bit crap.
The Tuxedo and Spy Next Door.
I've seen those, yeah. They're okay.
Okay. Just out of curiosity. Actually, well, thinking about it, Kung Fu Hustle and Shaolin Soccer.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
All at once.
Kung Fu
These
Hustle.
Are really over the top martial arts movies. I always was a bit perplexed by Kung Fu Hustle because on the surface it looks like a PG or 12 movie, but I don't know how it got a 15.
It's R rated, isn't it?
It is. For some violence. Because I've never seen it. I can only imagine maybe there was a scene where someone's. Must have been punched in the face and there was blood everywhere. I'm not really so sure because it seems so cartoonish and silly.
All right, well, apparently it was an MA, it would have been MA 15 plus in Australia, but it was cut down to an M, so it must have something in there worthy of a, got an 18A in Manitoba in Canada, so clearly there was something in there that really must have irked them. Mind you, only a 12 in Germany and 2 public in France. Well, that's just what it is.
Well, they probably saw the humor in it, but that was a bit weird to me because it looked like a kid's movie to some extent.
It is remarkably tame. I mean, you do start to wonder about the ratings process when a movie like that gets put in the same category as a movie like, Deadpool or Logan or the John Wick movies.
Exactly. Even recently, Best Picture winner, Everything Everywhere, that was a 15. That was R-rated, but I didn't sense it was trying to go for that. Maybe they just were said, do whatever you like with it. And it got the 15 because they did slip in a fight involving dildos and there was some bloody detail and some F-words. But that was it, really. I think if they wanted the PG-13, they probably could have. Even if there are scenes of people trying to stick things up their ass. But that is a martial arts movie.
Well, sometimes, we talk about... Parents' Guide. Sorry, I'll be in a second. Who uses a fuck? Oh, well, that'll do it. Actually, no, that won't do it. Maybe it might do it, I don't know. The thing sometimes they like pepper their films with bad language to get the higher rating, much like what Manga Entertainment did with them when they were dubbing over anime, but again, off topic.
Well, anime and martial arts do have overlap.
Yeah, they do. Again, it's from Japan and most martial arts do come from Japan, so there's usually some stuff regarding ninjas, such as Afro Samurai, so yeah, kinda. I mean, the first anime film I saw was Crying Freeman, which had a bit of which at least seems to have some martial arts references in it. Well, but nothing particularly egregious. Granted, I was watching it on video, so of course, on VHS, during the 90s or late 2000s, so if it probably would have been cut to buggery by Furman, but hey-ho. What the fuck was that about?
I guess there is a common thread between us after all. We saw inappropriate cartoons before a certain age. Was the first 18...
I mentioned the Karate Kid earlier, and I've seen the three films of that. Have you watched Cobra Kai?
No.
You're missing out. That is amazingly good fun. As ridiculous as it is, it's amazingly good fun.
I know my friend's sister is a big fan of the show, as to the extent, and I think Karate Kid 1 had to be censored a little bit because of the drugs.
It was cut for cinema for a PG rating just for a scene involving Johnny rolling a split. They left it uncut on video when it got a 15, but it's now been dropped to a 12, all because of one spliff. It didn't seem smoking, it seemed rolling it.
Yeah, that's a bit overreaching. I mean, you know, they did this with Crocodile Dundee, the first one, because it's showing a person snorting coke and they're trying to put like a hot bowl of the white powder so he could try to clear up his nose there, fella. Oh, it looks like you got a bit of a cold there, mate. And I'll tell you right now, it ain't a knife. This is a knife. Sorry, yeah. I had to do that.
That's okay. I mean, again, off topic, but I know, of course, series I've been wanting to watch, but never got around to watching as a kid and would have been bowdlerized when I was a kid, was The Three Ninjas.
Is that like a TV show or...?
No, it's a movie series, and there are cheesy as absolute fuck, and just basically kind of capitalized on the ninja craze of kids' movies that was around in that time.
Oh, yeah, they would have butchered something like that to death and had it PG.
It was PG, yeah, but it was cut down against PG, or it was just cut anyway because of the use of nunchaku or shuriken. Well, apparently the American version was cut down and it was very different to the international version, which I reckon might have been cut down for a PG as well. So I don't know what to make of that, really.
I heard some rumor about that, about even one of the first Ninja Turtles movies. They had to tone down at least a death by trash compactor. They thought maybe in its original cut it was probably a little too gruesome. This may be urban legend, but you never know, because some things aren't entirely confirmed when it comes to censorship between MPA, like it is with BBFC. BBFC has a lot of their sort of cuts and stuff on record.
Well, yeah, they do cut their stuff. The BBFC are better recording their cuts than the MPA are. I will admit, yeah, they just don't. They've even admitted that the MPA just won't tell them what they need to cut. They just say you got to cut it, and then when it's cut, it's lost to the ether. Then
exactly, and there have been instances where they say, "Well, what do you want me to cut?" said the filmmaker, and then it would reply, "But we're not a censorship organization, so we can't tell you. You just have to figure it out yourself." Well, that leaves the person kind of in a bind. How do you sort of handle something like that? And I think they did this to a lot of sort of indie films in general. And I'm sure this happened a lot with some of the earlier martial arts films from the 70s and 80s that were deemed extremely violent, to where they were threatened with X ratings. I know this happened with a film called The Street Fighter, before.
Oh, yeah.
And that was actually, I believe, the first X-rated film, US, not UK, for violence. Which, wow.
I had heard about that. Of course, I think that went back in the day when it was okay to release a film with an X rating before it became synonymous with porn in America.
Mid-70s.
Right. So it may have just been just early enough. You do think what could have been if the MPA had just copyrighted the X ratings of a porn industry, couldn't have jumped on it, and just like what could have been saved?
Oh boy, that's a podcast. No one waiting to happen.
Well, we could have discussed it on our NC17. We could have discussed it on our NC17 podcast. I think I may have mentioned it, but it might have been lost in the ether. I don't know. Anyway, this is off topic. I mean, I don't know if we've how much. I mean, all the tons of bloody martial arts based media there is to talk about and everything. I mean,
I mean, we could talk more about martial arts porn. I mean, Ikki Tosun. I think series 2, Dragon Destiny. I've only seen series 1 because I'm only nostalgic for Japanese cartoons from a certain period. But I think they had to cut out a DVD extra on series 2 because there was a bit of sexualization of a minor, which I'm fine with them censoring that.
Well, that's not too bad. I mean,
1 was pretty overt. Because it's very leery. I mean, there's a lot of shots of women's underwear, and it's very sort of sexualized type banter. It's not even like Carry On. It's just a bit leery as a whole. And, you know, it's aimed at sort of lonely netbeards who probably watch too much Pornhub of East Asian pornography and have katana swords and obsessed with words like sansai. Like you said.
All right. Probably. Of course, I mentioned the John Wick films earlier on. Of course, well, the first one, not so much, but the later ones do have a lot of, at least the fourth one that came out a bit earlier this year, that's got a lot of martial arts stuff in it. I mean, because there's a point where it just goes to Japan, and of course, later on, there's lengthy action scene, it's just a ridiculous amount of, basic ninjutsu going on, and jujitsu, and of course Rina Sawayama is in the movie for that scene. I don't know if you know about her.
I've heard her by name only. You probably have a crush on her, knowing you.
Well, she is quite a fanciful person. She is, when it comes, I don't simp easily, but she is quite the queen worth simping for. Anyway, she is she's in that scene. I had a stunt double doing us for her. It was very well put together because it looked seemed very much like it was her doing all the martial arts moves and all the various stunts. So that was, So I don't know where I'm going with this, but fuck me, that was good. I didn't know if Rina Sawayama actually knew any martial arts because nothing on her profile has ever said she does. But I mean, I think what people are probably assuming she does just because she's Asian. But again, racism.
I said this about Elodie Young, who was in
Daredevil.
Yes. Or that spin-off show, I think it's called like, The Reinforcers. Defenders, that's it.
Defenders.
And she's Franco-Cambodian. They say that about her as well, even though she's of mixed descent, just like I am of mixed descent. And Maggie Q often gets this sort of view too, just because she's partial. They think, oh, she probably knows a thing or two. Bruce Lee, you know, a lot of people forget that he is mixed origin. Well, about like 60-75% Chinese, and then about like 30-25% European. But you'll be surprised. Not everyone is as they appear to be.
His mother Grace Ho was Eurasian. Born in.
But Hong Kong was a protector of the British government, so I'm not surprised. You know, English people would try to come over there and
his maternal. Yeah, his maternal grandma, I think, was Eurasian or mixed race, but don't really get too much into that. But yeah, I think Elodie Young actually was a martial artist as well, but I think maybe Maggie Q was, I don't know, she didn't live free or die hard, and she did some martial arts work there, but I don't know how much of that was actually her and how much was a stunt double. But yeah, it has been quite a stereotype that basically East Asians all secretly know that Kung Fu or martial arts and everything, even if they come from a country that isn't renowned for martial arts, like, you know, Vietnam or Cambodia. I mean, again, in the Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, when he has that fight early on with those guys in the gym, and when he walks up, and then they come, he said, "Hey, we come in peace. That jujitsu shit, can you teach us?" He goes, "No, don't teach." And then somebody goes, "I told you, man, it's secret." sea slur that rhymes with blink, duh, and it just sort of stops right there. Oh, it's just God, wow. Dude.
Well, you know, you have to remember. Wait, is this set in San Francisco or like Northern California?
Well, it must have been San Francisco because that's where he lived, wasn't it? Which yes. makes sense because there's a lot, because most Chinese migrants to America lived in San Francisco. Must have been something to do with its bay, just made it naturally just the best place, the natural place to migrate, to just go, I guess, or to dock. I don't fucking know.
It is true. Because there was a lot of sort of race riots involving Europeans and Chinese people because they thought they were sort of like a predatory economic class. And you even are seeing some of those remnants of that mindset even coming back again. And this is especially true in places like Vancouver, BC, and Melbourne in Victoria, Australia, where they're viewed as, you know, especially with COVID and recent growth of China as a market, also discrimination on sort of Chinese or just any sort of East Asian group in general is seen as some sort of like predatory economic class, or there are some sort of invasion trying to buy off properties at high prices and disrupt the property and the real estate market. But I know that's not...
You've been watching Romper Stomper, haven't you?
I got it because it's an NC-17 movie. I have to collect it for my naughtiness.
Yeah, I mean...
No. I'm not a neo-Nazi. Well, I mean, I'm not a far-right Nazi.
It would be a bit silly if you were, being that you're a mixed race. But, yeah, of course, you bring up Canada and Australia. I forget, their East Asian population is a... proportion much larger than America's. Obviously, with Australia, it's understandable. They're right next to those places, so they would a lot would migrate there, just like a lot of Irish people would migrate to Britain, like they have done. But again, that's not what we're talking about, and it makes me uncomfortable talking about it because I feel a bit racist saying it. But speaking of a racism, of course, I reckon that's why that was the cause behind the public. Be a huge backlash or outrage against ninjas and ninjutsu we had in Britain during the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and the knee-jerk reaction the BBFC had to ninja weapons and martial arts weapons, mainly just out of xenophobia.
No, it is true. We've inferred about this in the past, saying that there's probably some sort of xenophobic ulterior motive going on, that they had to cut and trim a lot of this stuff out because they thought all these young Protestant kids are going to be picking up on a lot of this Eastern crap or mysticism, they would call it. Is it offensive that I call it Eastern? You know, that's how people used to refer to places like China and Japan back in the day, as the Far East or East Asia.
Well, East Asia is probably the most, it's probably the best way to refer it, seeing as that's just referring to a geographical reason. Far East, Eastern, I don't know. As long as you're not using the O word, I think we should be fine.
All right then. But yes, a lot of that was sort of happening, which is a bit weird because a lot of people go out to get Szechuan and roast a duck with spare rib, just like I did last night. People from all walks of life, and go to HSBC and wank off to East Asian porn. Because they think, you know, they give you love you long time, which I don't know where that comes from. That's probably maybe something that came out of the Korean War when the American GIs tried to terrorize Japan and stuff with the A-bomb or the setting up war camps.
I think it might have been Vietnam, seeing as they were over there a lot longer.
Right there. I know we shouldn't be talking about this sort of stuff, but it does pertain to martial arts and Eastern culture in what people from the West perceive as that, this weird world we don't know about, all martial artists or people mouths moving up and down with large anime eyes and getting raped by tentacles or killing people with their mouths moving up and down. I will fight you to the death. Is I and they throw blasts of some green power ball like you see on Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I know what you're throwing.
Mm. Yeah. I think I've said my piece here. I don't know if you have any closing thoughts here, but
I don't really know how to wrap this up or anything. I don't really know how to encapsulate everything we've been talking about or of a whole freaking subject in general. Yeah, it was good fun. I don't know if we covered quite everything we could have. But yeah, I guess we did cover a lot of the martial arts subject at hand. That's yeah, a good fun subject. I've watched a lot of it on his hand. Obviously, I think a lot of it's wish fulfillment. We all watch Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan doing their stuff and wish we could do it. Then we could just be around going, oh, man, I could deck anyone. But not about you just walk into any bar or any pub and just beat the shit out of anyone in there. But obviously, if you're trained in martial arts, you're taught not to go around looking for fights, and rightfully so. I mean, bit of a dick move. I guess that's it, really.
And also, kids, make sure not to bash your head onto a brick of wood. You will get splinters. You will have to go to the doctor. That's one of the things that they teach you in these martial arts courses, is to bash a brick or a piece of wood. The old.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I can do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the controversy surrounding Power Rangers to begin with was that kids were trying to copy the Power Rangers and were injuring themselves doing it. I don't know how many people actually did, but kids did. But yeah, they like jumping off sofas and breaking their legs or something, which does probably go against my theory. What I said earlier, that people don't copy what they do on TV, but you know, maybe they might get ideas, but to say it like encourages violence in real life, I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's really.
Same here there. We would like to thank you for everyone for who's listening. We're almost up to 30 episodes strong, and we'll be having hopefully more content along the way, even if it probably will slow down a little bit based on if we've run out of topics to deal with. But hopefully next week or so we could be talking about France, French films, if you know a lot about that, or documentaries. They're going to be niche subjects. Take it as you will.
Yeah, we talk about stuff. But yeah, French films are interesting. Okay, well, we'll see. We'll discuss it in the meantime before we get there. And yeah, I'll see you next time, Mark. And peace out, everyone listening.
Peace out.